God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton on this edition of The Encouraging Word. In just a few moments, we'll be diving into today's message, Responding to What God Says, by Dr. Wilton. Dr. Don wants me to remind you we'd love to pray with you as we launch this time together. You can connect with us right now at the other end of 866-899-WORD. That's right, old school opportunities to have a conversation, a prayer together on the phone is one of our joys and a wonderful way to encourage you. Why don't you give us a call, 866-899-9673. But we can do that keyboard to keyboard as well if you want to meet us online at theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org. Now today's message, Responding to What God Says, with Dr. Don Wilton.
Last week, I had the privilege of preaching and sharing a message with you entitled, What Does God Say? So what does God say? And evidently, the Lord was so pleased to speak to many, many hearts. This entire week, I have had the privilege of reading and talking and interacting with more people than I can imagine. When God speaks, He speaks to our hearts like none other. We certainly have wonderful people that we can go to, like our parents and our friends and neighbors. And God has given to us teachers and people around us that mean so much to us, that speak a lot of truth and give us guidance and help us, but none like our Heavenly Father. And evidently, God is speaking. And there's a lot of people who are hurting seriously because of sin. I mean really badly, folks. All of us are sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God. But there are some sins that are very public, they're very hurtful, whatever it might be, and there is a great consequence. There's a wake of pain, and it's like you've been sentenced to a life. It's like you're never going to shake this. And what do you do with that? And what does God say when we find ourselves and we acknowledge that? Where do we go? How does this work out? How do we ever get through this? I want to speak to you today as we come out of this on responding to what God says. Last week, we looked at, so what does God say? Today, I want us to ask this broad question, responding to what God says. In other words, how do we respond to what God says? Now, before I even read you this passage, which is going to take us into some very specific things that I want to put out in front of us today from God's Word, I want to give you four musts. M-U-S-T-S. I just want to lay these down in front of all of us today. These are four musts. And I really want to invite you and encourage you today to listen to these four musts. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them. I can't do that. Number one, you must position yourself. If you're going to respond to what God says, you must position yourself to respond to what God says. You might say, well, now, what do you mean by that? Positioning yourself before God is placing yourself at His disposal. Marriage is a beautiful thing. Two people fall in love and they get married, and as time goes on, hurt creeps in, wrong things are said, and we become lazy and we forget and we don't love like we ought to, and the love is never diminishes, but we find ourselves in marriage saying, you know something, as of today, I'm not going to forget to change what I'm doing. In order for you to bring about what needs to be done in your marriage, you've got to position yourself to do that. Otherwise, you're just going to think about it and never do it. Some may be looking at me today, even if I use the illustration of marriage, and you say, you know, I'm going to start once again taking my wife out on a regular date. We don't do anything together. Well, you can think about doing that for the next 20 years and never do it, right? I see some of you doing. I understand exactly what you're saying. You must position yourself. Are you positioned in your heart before the Lord? Number two, you must listen carefully. You must listen carefully. It's hard to listen carefully today. A lot of sounds, the noise around us is extreme. A lot of distractions today. It really are, and they're very real distractions, all of us. It's very hard to listen. And listening is a discipline. And some of you, you're in the right position, but you're not listening. You're not listening. Just be honest before the Lord today. I mean, how many more times has God got to tell you something? You're not listening. Are you listening to me? You know that phrase we use with our children. Son, are you listening to me? You don't ever listen when I speak. And we've got all of this. And when it comes to the Lord speaking to our hearts, this issue of listening, it's a discipline. You've got to determine that in your own heart. Number three, you must hear redemptively. You must hear redemptively. I'm going to tell you on the authority of God's word that as you position yourself and as you listen, when you put yourself in a deliberate position, and you listen carefully, you can then hear redemptively. Do you know that we are a people who, in a sense, choose to hear what we want to hear and how we want to hear it? And God's word is a redemptive word. That's why Jesus Christ has an encouraging word for you. Everything in this Bible is redemptive. Now, the word, by the way, redemptive, is borrowed from the verb to redeem, which means to make good out of bad. It's the word from which we get our understanding of salvation. You are saved from something. And what God does for us, because He's our Heavenly Father, is that He rescues us. And every word of God's word is about His plan for the redemption of mankind. God intends for you to be redeemed. So whatever it is you're hearing from Him, hear it redemptively. Don't hear it in a word of condemnation. Don't hear God condemning you. Hear God redeeming you. Remember that the woman caught in adultery, who was guilty as charged, and everybody around her was pointing a finger but wouldn't throw the first stone, Jesus said, listen, I forgive you. I am going to redeem you. But in order for that, you need to hear me redemptively. Go and sin no more. If you don't hear God redemptively, you are going to be inclined to just keep on doing what you know God told you not to do to begin with. You're going to keep going back to the trough. So first of all, you must position deliberately. You must listen carefully. You must hear redemptively. And number four, the fourth must, is you must do obediently. That's really the bottom line of this. I'm just going to say it right now. What God does require of us is absolute obedience. There's a pathway here. Now, the children of Israel, back in the Old Testament, were God's people. And their story was rather somewhat spectacular. It was an incredible adventure. And we know what happened to the children of Israel, how that the Lord God Jehovah, by his grace and because of his love, delivered them from bondage, marched them across the desert, set them free, and in the process of their walk to freedom, it wasn't about their freedom, it was about their walk to freedom. What God was showing them was that the journey is as important as the destination. In their walk to that which God had guaranteed them, he wasn't going to take it from them. They just repeatedly fell off the horse. They repeatedly sinned against him. And when you walk through the Bible, if I had time today, I'd say turn to Genesis 1 verse 1, and then let's go to chapter 2 and chapter 3, if we were able to do that, and I will show you how the Bible illustrates for us our journey of life. This is all about us in the heart of a God who loves us. This is what a loving God does for a sinful people. And the children of Israel repeatedly sinned against God, and they were punished as a result. God punishes sin. There are consequences. The hurt that you feel in your heart today because of your sin is the consequence of your sin. That's exactly what God says will happen. And these people constantly found themselves at the short end of the stick, and they hurt. They became deprived. They became depressed. They suffered anger. They began to fight amongst one another. Many of them lost their lives. They lost many a battle on the battlefield. Their children were decimated. Their tents were run over, and their camels were shot. They were chased hither and thither. They were ousted. They were belittled. They were left out in the cold. They starved. I mean, you could write a script concerning the consequences of their sin. And in the midst of this, God spoke to them. And Psalm 85 is one of the most magnificent psalms concerning responding to what God says. This is what happened when God spoke to them. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again so that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant to us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn back to their folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. May God write this word. I'm going to stop right there at that point. I'm going to just give to you what God says. This is what happened. This is how they responded to what God said. This is what God is telling us to do. Number one, acknowledge God's favor. For America today to once again find herself under the blessing of God. Number one, we've got to acknowledge God's favor upon this land. Now, you and I do that well in most things, but we do not do it when it comes to what God has done for us. Ours has become an institutionalized gratitude. And that's not a bad thing. It's very good for us to thank God, so to speak, for America. We're very good as Americans at commemorating. Why has God done what he's done for America? Why do we enjoy what we have today? Why do you and I have so many trees? Why do we have everything we want to drink and places to go? Why do our children grow up with opportunities? It's not the case in many other parts of the world. Why is it that there are people around the world who suffer greatly and that we care about so deeply, and yet we ourselves are so blessed? Is not the hand of God upon us? How do you begin to describe a nation like this and remove God at the same time? How can we become a nation in which we get into such a frenzy because some person at a graduation service has the audacity to mention the name of Jesus in a prayer? What is it going on in our land, this land of freedom, that you and I get threatened if we dare to invoke the name of Almighty God? What is it about a country like this where we're told we've got to pray some kind of generic all together, whoever it might be, the man upstairs or down, wherever he or she is? You telling me that the God of our fathers has no part? You take God out of America, we have no favor.
This is the Bible teaching of Dr. Don Wilton. You're listening to The Encouraging Word, and it's our privilege to connect you with this great Bible teaching and this man of God. I've known him for over 25 years now, and he lives out everything he proclaims. He is a man after God's own heart. And a lot of times I enjoy and am blessed by following on social media. So I suggest you do the same. You can find those links on our website at theencouragingword.org to follow not only Dr. Don Wilton, but also our ministry itself. Let's connect. Know that we're available for you 24 hours a day, both online at theencouragingword.org and also the other end of this phone number, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. It's a place where you can not only have someone pray with you or for you, but also connect with great resources. Right now, Take a Stand is a remarkable message from Dr. Wilton that literally has burned up our internet connections. So we'd love for you to consider getting a copy as well. The details are right there online at theencouragingword.org. Now back to today's message, Responding to What God Says with Dr. Don Wilton.
Lord, you have been favorable to your land. We're going to respond to God's word. We've got to be reminded of what happened to those 10 lepers. There were 10 men all suffering from leprosy, and Jesus healed them. And only one turned around and came back and acknowledged his favor. I've wondered often what happened to the remaining 9. They get no mention again. Is it possible that we've become part of the 9? Is it possible that from the White House to the State House, we have declared ourselves to be whole within ourselves, and we've decided to number ourselves among the 9 who have no need to acknowledge the hand of Almighty God? Is it possible that we are sentencing ourselves to never be mentioned again? Responding to what God says. Number one, acknowledge God's favor. Number two, ask God to forgive us. Verse 2, you forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. My friends, you know, this issue of asking God to forgive us, you know what that's about? It's about asking God to forgive us. That's what you and I have got to do. If you want Jesus Christ to come into your heart, my friend, it will not happen if you don't ask God to forgive you, because he's the only one that can. We're going to respond to what God says. We must ask God to forgive us. Number three, plead with God to remove his anger. That's what the Bible tells us here. Verse 3, you withdrew all your wrath and you turned from your hot anger. By the way, that little word hot there is an interesting word in the Hebrew text. It speaks to a seething righteousness, the burning righteousness. It's the vibrant holiness of God that finds itself completely and utterly intolerant of sin. The two don't mix. God's anger is not in and of itself. It is placed in opposition to all unrighteousness. God will not deal with sin to the point at which his anger against sin will seethe. Plead with God to remove his anger, and he will. Some of you today, please listen carefully to this. You have immersed yourself in sin, and you know it, and God's anger against your sin is at seething point, and you can ask him to remove his anger, and he will. The burn will go away. Maybe the reason why you are still hurting so badly is because you really haven't acknowledged God's favor, and you haven't asked him really to forgive you, and you haven't asked him to remove his anger. And this is not a lip thing, it's a heart thing. Number four, beg him to restore us. Verse 4 is a remarkable, it begins with a remarkable statement, restore us again. By the way, did you notice that little word, again and again and again? That's the thing we battle with very much in our own lives. We say, listen, this is the last time I ever forgive you for that. You do it one more time, it's over. Right? I mean, that's the human disposition. Do you know, and I know some of you are just so deep theologically and, you know, the Bible tells us that God forgives us over and again. Did it for Israel? And so some of you, maybe as you worship today, you're saying, listen, man, it's over. Listen to what God's saying. Number five, affirm his ability to revive us. You know, I love this part here in verse 6. Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? So where are we going to go? Shall we go back to our politicians? I'm going to ask you a very penetrating question. What do you suppose it's going to take in America for America to come back to where God wants us to be? I got a couple of good suggestions. Let's elect another president. Let's change the members of Congress. Let's erect another memorial. All of these things are part and parcel of our land. Only God can revive us. You see, Jesus Christ is the only answer. There is no other way. He's our hope. He's my hope. He's your hope. Friend, I want you to know that today I point you to Jesus. Jesus said, come to me as you labor and are heavy laden. Everything points to Jesus. Paul said, I save to know nothing among you excepting Jesus Christ him crucified. He's the one. Give your life to Christ. And I'm going to close with number six. Tell him that we will listen to him. We're going to respond to what God says. Tell him that we will listen to him. You know, this is the action part. I really believe that those of us who know the Lord and who love the Lord, praying for our own lives, for our families, and for our nation, we need to let God know that we are actually going to listen to what God says. Now, with no disrespect to any sermon that you might have heard from any preacher, you and I are all guilty of saying, you know, what a jolly good sermon that was. Boy, I'll tell you what, that preacher just gave a wonderful word. But are we willing to actually listen and do what God tells us to do? You see, it brings me full cycle to the four musts. You must position deliberately. You must listen carefully. You must hear redemptively, and you must do obediently. That's what the psalmist is saying here. And if you follow the track of the children of Israel, and if you follow every revival movement and great awakening from Wales to England to the United States, when you study great men of God like George Whitefield and Moody, and you see the incredible movements of God that have taken place, from coal mines to streets to sidewalks and city cafes to nations that have found themselves right there before the throne of God, receiving the blessings of God, you'll always find this pattern. They positioned themselves and they listened and they heard, and then they went out and did it obediently. We not only must hear, but we've got to do. That's hard, isn't it? It's hard. It's hard. It's hard for me. When I get through today, you know, as soon as you walk out and you get back into life and all the things that we've got, it's so easy. You soon get swallowed up. You ready to seek God's face? Are we ready to call upon the name of the Lord together in our families and with our children, for our nation? Are we ready to love one another with the love of the Lord Jesus? Are we ready to focus our attention on the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to invite you to present yourself to Him. Give your life to Him. In fact, I'm going to invite you to give your life to Christ now. Turn your life over to Him. Some may need to come today and seek His face and come and pray. Call upon Him. Some may say, Lord, You've spoken to me. I'm going to pray for our nation like never before. And some may have a friend, family member that's far from God. Now you know how to respond. And you and me, these are the disciplines of the Christian life. They're tough disciplines. They're disciplines that are hard to come by. They rankle us a little bit, but I tell you, when you understand what God did to the children of Israel, He'd do it again and He'll do it again. Friend, you're not beyond God's grace. You're not outside of His parameter. It's not over for you. Come back. Get back.
It could be the most important phrase of today's message from Dr. Wilton. My friend, you are not beyond God's grace. We'd love to speak with you. Right now, we've got friends that would love to take your call at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or if you'd rather, meet us online. We go keyboard to keyboard just as well at theencouragingword.org. Before we get away, a closing thought from Dr. Don.
Are you ready? Would you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that Jesus loves me, and that He died on a cross for me. Today, I repent of my sin, and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus, and I give Him my heart and my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you've prayed that prayer from your heart and you've given your life to Christ, I welcome you to the family of God. You are my brother, my sister in Christ. Let's get engaged together, because we are connected together forever as believers in Christ.
Our time's gone, but tomorrow Dr. Wilton dives back into the real issues we ask, God answers. Tomorrow it's about what happens when a Christian sins. I hope you'll join us for that special broadcast tomorrow, and stay connected online at theencouragingword.org, or give us a call anytime, day or night, at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673.